Coming up, best-selling author Tamar Anch has written a new book that will inspire your children, grandchildren, all of us, to bench like a mensch. Welcome to 613 Books Podcast. I'm your host, Heather Dean. If you enjoy a variety of books with authentic Jewish values, we read you loud and clear. Many people know my guest this week, author Tamar Anch, as the challah lady for her book, A Taste of Challah, and also her Jerusalem Challah Experience shows where she gets to bring the magic of challah directly to tour groups and bat mitzvahs and other special events. Tamar is involved in a vast array of initiatives in addition to her eight or so books. She's involved in business, publicity in print and email, community events, and other worthwhile projects. Tamar also coaches other women of every age bracket and background so that they too can make their own creative ideas, projects, and deeply held dreams come alive. Tamar Anch is also the director of the Jerusalem Women's Writers Seminar, known as JWWS, which is an entity all its own as a year-round resource packed with information and a variety of programs culminating in the must-attend yearly conference, which welcomes Jewish women writers, editors, and publishers to grow their projects, gain insights, and to network with each other. Welcome to 613 Books Podcast, Tamar Anch.
Hi, Heather. It's great to be with you today.
Great. So tell us how you chose the title of the book and what type of readers the book written for.
So the book is called Let's Get Benching because it's geared towards children. And I actually had the title inside my head and my heart for quite a long time before I ever sat down to write the book. It told itself to me. I didn't have to worry about a title. And as soon as the publisher heard the title, they right away accepted it. There were no tweaks to it. It was exactly the way I wrote it to begin with. It's a great title. I wanted it to be interactive and I wanted it to talk to children, not just to the adults. Why did I choose this topic? Because, first of all, I already had a beautiful experience writing a different children's book called Let's Say Amen, which that one's all about the power of a blessing and what it means to answer at the end of a blessing. Jews answer the word Amen at the end of a blessing to solidify the blessing, to solidify the bracha, and to finish it off. It is the best way to explain it. And that project really opened up just a beautiful stream of just wonderful children who really gained from it. I hear from parents even 10 years later about how much it changed their family. And over the last several years, I had been privy to quite a bit of information about benching, Birkas Hamazon, the blessing after meals. And in my main book on Amen and Brachos, there's only one short little mention of benching there. I didn't realize how much information there really is. And all I could think about was, wow, even though I've also been benching most of my adult life and most of my young life, I can't say that I knew that much about the backstory of it or even the laws pertaining to it or the bracha that it brings down. And it inspired me so much, I wanted to be able to share it.
Okay, so that's how you felt about benching and your relationship with benching. I'm just wondering, in the process of writing this book, how you feel about it now, personally?
Now, I mean, I benched beforehand because it's a mitzvah. This I knew to begin with. I know it's a mitzvah. I know it's important. But nowadays I bench, I look forward to it. Like, I find reasons to wash and eat bread and make a sandwich and not just sit down and like snack on this and snack on that and then quickly say something and go on with my day. I'll make time to actually wash so that I can have the bracha of benching. It's not the other way around. When I go to a wedding, I'll purposely make sure that I wash and make time to bench afterwards. I'll make sure that I go with a bencher in my purse so that I'm not caught in a place where I have to do it by heart and I'm not really sure if I dropped a word here or there. I certainly pay much more attention to the words. I'm trying to make sure that I look at every word. We're all human, and if you have days where your mind wanders or your eyes wandered, so this is part of being human. You shouldn't give up on yourself because it happens to everybody. But the fact that you notice it and pull yourself back into it and pay attention again gives you a tremendous amount of credit, gives you a tremendous amount of merit. And that, to me, was something that very much strengthened my resolve to continue on.
Yes, it's definitely delivered nicely and clearly in your book about the importance of benching with kavana, concentration, and also gratitude, and also from the printed page, which I guess lends itself to why now more than ever you make sure to carry a bencher with you wherever you go. One of the things also that I really like about this book, and I know families who haven't yet purchased their copy will also like, is that it's just so attractive looking. The illustrations by Tova Katz are beautiful. She's so talented. And you as a writer deliver your ideas in just easily digestible bites. What can I say? Pun intended. It's just a real enjoyable experience. And what I like about it is that rather than listing everything all at once, that's why I say these digestible bites. So if you could, because this is written for young readers as well, mostly, tell us about one of the halachas, one of the laws.
So I know a lot of people use the terms, especially when they're speaking to youngsters, that they should be careful with benching. Now, if you take yourself for a second and close your eyes and imagine that you're like 8 years old and somebody said to you, be careful when you bench. What would that mean to you? What intonation does that mean to a child? It's just something we say, but we didn't explain it. So I wanted to make it like much easier to understand. That's why we made bullet points. And that's also why the halachos, I didn't want them to become overwhelming, like long pages of text and the people's eyes rolling and even the kids like not wanting, just flipping over the pages because it's boring. So we put them in small boxes all around and weaved it through so it shouldn't have to be overwhelming. What does it mean to be careful when you're benching? It's actually not hard and it's not so many steps. And it's something that anyone can do. It just means that you need to sit down. Yeah, you're going to pay attention. So you hold the bencher in your hands. When you're benching, you say the words clearly and carefully. Instead of la, 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 you say them slow, just a drop slower. Instead of a 1.5 speed, say it at 1 speed, right? And it's always good to say the words a little bit out loud if you can't shout them or sing them because you're in a place that you can't. Just loud enough that your own ear can hear it. That's pretty much what it means to be careful. You know, if you're concentrating and looking at the words, if you don't speak Hebrew or it's hard for you, you can always read the English on the English side before you start so it makes a little more sense to you. That's really all it is. And you're saying it from a text, it automatically helps. A few years ago, I went to visit a very close Rebbetzin of mine on Rosh Hashanah. One of the things I was struggling with is that you're standing in shul for 2 full days, and I find it hard sometimes to have concentration, to have kavana. How do I know if my prayers are accepted before God if I'm not concentrating? And I felt so terrible about it that at night when we had a break, so I walked all the way to her house to talk to her about it. She told me something profound that's actually so simple it can make you laugh. She said it in the name of her husband, who at the time was already ill with his last illness. So Zichrono Livracha, she said to me that all his life he would say, and this was somebody who was a very, very big tzaddik, and it was very simple. He would say, you want to have kavana, you want to have concentration, take your finger and put it on the words as you're reading them. That's it. She looked at me and I looked at her as like, that is it? Like nothing more, you know, esoteric than that. And she's like, yeah, that's all it takes. And really, it's any time I lose concentration or you think you're going to fall asleep or you're not paying attention, if you put your finger there, your eyes are drawn that way and you gain merit just by doing that little action. So it gave me tremendous inspiration that that's really all it takes. Having concentration, quote, benching with kavana, you know, as we tell the kids, or, you know, being careful when you bench, that's really all it is.
Right. Wow. So see, that's doable. One of the stories I'm wondering if you could tell us a little about that really touched me is Sarah's story from your book. It's connection between with benching and her considerable career success, which was inspired by a shiur she heard by Rav Shmuel Feldman.
So Sari is a friend of mine. We are part of the same group of copywriters at the time that we were all training. And we noticed that she was getting many more jobs than a lot of the rest of us were, you know, really good jobs. And copywriting, part of the way you get started is by taking private clients. So one of us asked her, like, you know, what are you doing differently than the rest of us are? And she thought about it for a minute because she was doing the same steps we were doing, but she was getting jobs that were coming to her, you know, pretty regularly. She said to us the only thing she could think of is that she had heard a shiur recently by Rav Shmuelfelder on the topic of benching. He named it very appropriately called benchophobia, that people are afraid to bench. Therefore, they don't wash. They don't want to eat bread because they don't want to have to bench. It's like, what's the problem with benching? It brings down so much bracha. And he spent time in the shiur to list all the blessings that are promised when a person benches, when a person says the after blessing with concentration from the printed text, etc. She was so inspired by that she had received a bencher from somebody else that had, above the words, had some English to be able to help you focus. And she started using it. She started making sure she washed every single day for breakfast. And she made sure to use that bencher to the point that her kids called it mommy's bencher. And over time after that, she did start seeing an increase in the amount of clients that she was getting. I was very impressed by that and very inspired. I was also at a place in my business that it was kind of slow. And besides, I already had read a lot of things about benching. And in my heart, I really wanted to write a book, which now thankfully has happened.
That's a wonderful story. And I really appreciate, Tamar, that you've told us so much about your wonderful book for the whole family, Let's Get Benching. And thank you for coming on the podcast, 613 Books, Tamar Ench.
Thank you.
And Tamar invites listeners to the podcast to also profit from your own success and reach out to her about her Access Your Blessings mentoring, Jerusalem Challah experiences, or just to say hello. Just send her an email to her at tamar@tamaranch.com. That's tamar@tamaranshh.com.
And now it's time to find out what is on the reading table of today's Jewish movers and shakers.
This week, we'll hear what's on Naomi Elbinger's reading table. Naomi will also be my special guest on 613 Books podcast next week to talk with me about Yedidya, the widely acclaimed novel that she co-authored with Rabbi Daniel Yaakov Travis. She's also the CEO of a web development company and an urban farmer who has been active in bringing nature education to Israel's Haredi sector. All right, Naomi, what is on your reading table?
Thanks, Heather. This is what's on my reading table. It's a book called Dreams Never Dreamed by Kalman Samuels. Kalman Samuels is the founder of Shalva, which is an incredible organization in Jerusalem that helps children with special needs and their families. And this is his story of his own experience raising a boy with very serious special needs and starting Shalva. And I have to admit, I was a bit nervous about picking it up. I thought it might be depressing. But no, really, you feel blessed that humanity has people like this walking amongst us when you read it. It's so inspirational. And it held my attention throughout. And I really enjoyed it. And that's what's on my reading table.
Thanks, Naomi. That's a great recommendation. And I'm really looking forward to speaking with you on next week's episode of 613 Books podcast about your own amazing book, the novel Yedidya. And if you, my listeners, would like to learn more about Yedidya or buy your own copy, visit yedidyabook.com. That's YEDIDYABOOK.com. And that's what's on the shelf for this week's episode of 613 Books podcast. Thank you for listening. I'm Heather Dean.
613 Books podcast is produced and hosted by Heather Dean. Senior producer and director of operations, Greg Cohen. Consulting producer, Yiska Roth. Show announcer, Michael Doniger. Remember to like and subscribe to our show on your favorite app, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or your own preferred app, and never miss an episode. You can find all episodes of 613 Books podcast by visiting our website, heatherdeanproductions.com.